Good evening, everybody. Sorry for the delay and sorry for the problem. Okay, so this was officially scheduled or called a shiur and how to do a seder for beginners. So I'm going to tell you that for many of us, we're all beginners this year because our seders are going to be different. They're going to be much less participants. I can only tell you for Chevy and myself, as you might know, we've been privileged to have many, many people at our Seder in the past, and this year it will be very, very few people at our Seder. Okay, having said that, we're all going to make the best of it. Let me just, before I even get started with anything, let me just give you one or two words of background. Rabbi Soloveitchik personally was a very, how should I say it? I'll even say a cold fish. Now, a lot of people are going to call me and say, how would you dare say that? But I'm going to tell you that he was not a warm person, certainly not on the surface, but in his brilliance, in terms of perspective, he was exceedingly romantic. And so he would say that the Pesach Seder is a rendezvous. Nice word to start the Seder. A rendezvous literally means an opportunity for two lovers to get together. So before you sit down to the Seder with whomever, and even those who are going to be having a Seder by themselves, even they have to realize you're not by yourself. It really is between you and Hashem. And it's a very special moment. And that moment is special whether you're there with many people or whether you're there with He alone. And that's a very important point to start. It's a rendezvous. And really, if you think about it, watch. If you think how ideally we ought to end the Seder. Now you know what you're thinking. I'm already talking about the end. Watch. Ideally, you're supposed to be able to end the Seder, and then instead of saying, whoa, I'm exhausted, oh, come on. Then we go to Shir HaShirim. Now, Shir HaShirim is the Song of Songs. It's a love story. It basically is a culmination of the evening, formally, between God and the Jewish people. Now let's go a drop beyond. Interestingly, for the romantics in the group, anybody want to guess? Don't all shout out at the same time, but if I had to ask you, how many blessings do we recite before we get to the matzah? All right? And if anybody wants to think about this, we recite before the matzah 7 blessings. And interestingly, that Sheva Brachos reminds us of, that's right, under the chuppah, the week of Sheva Brachos, because this is that special evening of the romance between God and Israel. So it's God and Israel in the plural. It's God and us, each and every one of us individually. So keep that in mind. Even if you're having a Seder alone, it's going to be very meaningful because, you know, who's coming to your Seder? He himself. That's right. God is coming to your Seder. So you're not going to be alone at your Seder. Okay, having said that, let's get down to business. All right? So before we start the Seder, just know what you're going to need. You're going to need a Seder plate. You're going to need a Haggadah. Now, the Seder plate is something which is exceedingly traditional, goes back a long time, and basically it puts the mitzvos of the night in front of us before we begin. You're going to need 3 matzos, and even though every Yom Tov and every Shabbos, we have 2 challah. Tonight we have 3 because on the one hand, it's Yom Tov next Wednesday night and Yom Tov requires 2. like every Shabbos, we have the Lechem Mishnah, too, to remember the man, the manna that came down in the desert twice on Friday and not on Shabbos. But here, tonight, next Wednesday night, since we're going to break the middle matzah, because matzah is called by the Torah a poor man's bread, and a poor man, when he has a whole loaf, he breaks part of it, saves the rest for later. So because we're going to break the middle matzah, as we'll talk about later, you are going to need three matzos. So we start the Seder with three matzos. One. And you're going to need, I'm going to go through the Seder plate, and there might be different configurations. You can't get it wrong. Just know what you do need. So you need, by order of appearance, like we have a star cast on this night. So there's no wine on your Seder plate, but you're going to need wine, which we'll get to in a few moments. But you're going to need, who makes the first appearance? The karpas. Oh, let's applaud the karpas, which is a piece of vegetable. We will explain why we're eating the vegetable, and some have a green vegetable to remind us of springtime. Just know the late Rabbi Teitz, who was the Rav of Elizabeth, prior to his son, who should live and be well, took over. So to teach his congregation and community that a banana, don't make a face, Suzanne, don't make a face, but that a banana is halachically a vegetable. What does that mean? You make a bracha, borei pri ha'adama. Don't tell me it's a fruit because it comes on a tree. No. And the reason why, Helene, if anybody asks you, why is it not a regular borei pri or eitz? Because the banana tree itself renews itself each year, unlike the apple tree, the pear tree, that is there from year to year. So the first thing you're going to need on that Seder plate is a piece of vegetable. Good. Let's move on. And we're going to go counterclockwise. Okay? So you are going to need a beitza, a hard-boiled egg, which is a custom. Accustomed to eat, not that one, but accustomed to eat a hard-boiled egg afterwards. But we have it on the Seder plate because across from the beitza, from the hard-boiled egg, will be the zroa, the roasted shank bone, which reminds us of the Korban Pesach, which is the Paschal Lamb. Very, very important part of the Seder, even though we don't yet have it, but it has such a powerful, positive influence over so much what we do, which I'll explain in a few moments. So because tonight is a special night, and the meal is going to be a special meal, what constitutes a special meal? Well, you have to understand that many, many times we were not as affluent as we are today, so there was really one major food eaten. On the night of the Pesach Seder, whoa, we're celebrating. So you need two cooked foods. And therefore, we have, on the one hand, the shank bone, which reminds us of the KP, the Korban Pesach, that was eaten in Egypt on the night that we left, prior to midnight, which we have a chance, we'll talk about that. And we had it for 365 years in Shiloh. Then we had it for 410 years in the first Beis HaMikdash. And we had it for 420 years, the Korban Pesach, in the second Beis HaMikdash. And guess what, guys? We will have it in the third. Okay, at the top is the maror. We can't forget the maror, bitter herbs. We'll talk about him. And basically, I'm going to tell you right now, a piece of romaine lettuce, okay? And we'll talk later on, Mr. London, why the romaine lettuce is technically something bitter. Teach you to smile. Okay, and listen carefully. Moving beneath the zeroa is the charoses, the mixture that you're going to make before Yom Tov, the nuts, the apples, the wine, any other goodies that you have. And if you want, call, you know, Chevy or any of my daughters, you know, and they'll tell you, you know, Chevy's recipe. She gives it out with all the ingredients, so don't worry. You'll have delicious charoses. And finally, at the bottom, we have chazeres. Chazeres is another form of the maror, and you can put a piece of horseradish there. And that is because we use the maror in two different places. We use it for the maror. We use it for the korech, the sandwich. That's your Seder plate. Good. All right. You'll ask questions maybe later, so this way we can keep moving. You'll write down your questions as we go along. Okay. We're about to start the Seder. Okay. And you're dressed for the occasion. Don't tell me that you're relaxed and you're... No. You're not wearing a t-shirt and you're not wearing, anything lounging. It's no sweatpants. No. You're getting all dressed up as if you are about to go literally to a wedding. I have to tell you, Mr. President, that there were times when I actually wore a tuxedo to the... stop laughing. I wouldn't fool you, to this Pesach Seder, because after all, we do things to arouse within ourselves, wow, this is important, a tuxedo to my children's weddings, etc. That's how important tonight is. So even though we might be alone and there's no photographer taking pictures, he is taking pictures. So remember, and therefore, get dressed up for the occasion and let our children get dressed up and let them realize, wow, this is something very special. Okay, we're about to start the Seder. Now, you cannot or should not start the Seder until approximately the earliest 8:10. Now, where am I getting that number from? There's no special number in the Talmud, 8:10. Listen carefully. Sunset, this Wednesday night, the night of the Pesach Seder, in New York times is approximately 7:28. That's not approximate. That's quite exact. 7:28. So the earliest you should be able to, the earliest would be 42 minutes after sunset. So anytime after 8:10, you can begin the Seder. Okay. Now, in my home, we begin the Seder by having a child enumerate Kadesh, Urchatz, going through the 15 steps, which you and I will do tonight, please God, discussing the Seder. And very simply, if there's no child there, and if you're alone, say it out loud. Believe me, you're not talking to yourself. Remember, he is there, and he's listening, and that's very important. Okay, now, assuming we have finished now the 15 steps. Let's go. We're up to Kadesh. Kadesh is that we're going to make Kiddush on this night, as we make Kiddush on every Friday night for Shabbos, every Yom Tov night. The night of Rosh Hashanah, we make Kiddush. So as far as that Kiddush is concerned, the Kadesh, that's no different than any other Yom Tov. What is different about it, Jeff, is the following. One, any other time that Kiddush is made, except for the night of the Pesach Seder, if you'd like to drink, you can. You come to my house. I'm a little frugal. I'm a little stingy. I'm not going to give you any wine. You're going to go home and say, oh, yeah, yeah, the meal was great, but I didn't get wine from the Kiddush. The answer is, from the letter of the law, only the one that recites the Kiddush all year long has to drink. It's nice that we give others to drink. It's preferable, but not mandatory. On the night of the Pesach Seder, next Wednesday night, everybody, men, women, children, have to drink. Now, it just so happens that I can see Suzanne. So, listen carefully. Maybe Suzanne and other women might have to drink grape juice. But let me tell the macho men, Shlomo, Jeff Cohen, and all the macho men that I can see in front of Mr. London, you're hiding. I got you. The men especially, let's understand something. Everybody in my community has heard this, but this will help us. Tonight is a night of celebration. And remember, when I come to your simcha, and you say, Yudin, thank you for coming. You're welcome. And I look around. What am I looking for? Jeff says, can I help you? Sure you can. Where's the grape juice? Somehow we don't celebrate with grape juice. Let's be honest. Yes, is the bracha, Borei Pre'ah Gofen, yes. But we celebrate with champagne. We celebrate with wine. So therefore, at your Pesach Seder, have wine. You don't have to have a 14.5% alcohol. get a very, you have time, a week's time to go out and do it carefully. If you're not supposed to be in the liquor store, get somebody else to go, etc. Or maybe they'll deliver. But they have a kal. They have a wine which is only 3%, 4%. That's it. Doesn't have to be much. And if that's much for you, mix that with grape juice. But your cup should hold ideally 4 ounces. If it's a little bit less, now I tell you, you're going to have difficulty. Try to find the 4-ounce cup. Now, Macho Man, if Michael is going to have a cup of 6 ounces, then you're in trouble, because you have to drink either the entire cup or at least the majority of the cup. So use your cup and get a smaller cup. That's right. Get a cup that holds 4 ounces. You have between now and then to do it. Ideally, not a disposable one. If you can get something silver or nice, but it's something nice, okay. And listen carefully. Think of it. If you drink a little bit more than 2 ounces, you can do it. So don't be afraid of the wine. And it's celebratory. Okay, everybody has to drink. That's number one. We drink leaning to the left. Why? Because I'm going to give you two major reasons. Number one, the rabbis tell us that basically it's a sign of freedom. Sign of freedom, what does that mean? It means that the Roman aristocrats of yesteryear leaned. Okay, what does that have to do with us? I really believe this is a very powerful idea. And that is that by our leaning, we are, forgive me, I hope this is not improper English, but we are sticking it to them. Is that okay, Jeff? Just nod your head if it's all right. What does it mean we're sticking it to them? Where are the Romans? They destroyed our temple. They're long gone. Yeah, they're Roman numerals that we remember from them, but that's it. They're long gone. Hi, Bubby. Ben, welcome, Bubby. They're long gone. But we have survived our enemies. So when you are leaning, whether you're with somebody else or not, you're making a statement. The very leaning says, thank you, Hashem. Thank you for protecting us. And every time we say that, we're saying, thank you for protecting us then. That's right. And now. Because we're going to make the Seder very applicable to what we're going through now. And the Seder is going to help us go through what we're going through now. So we've had the first cup of wine after the Kiddush. And we've all drunk, number one, wine, or if necessary, grape juice. If you're not supposed to have wine, then don't have wine. And you know who you are if you can't have wine. Whether it's doctor's orders or whatever the reason, you know what I'm saying. Those who can, should. Those who can't, don't. Be smart and do the right thing. Okay, we've had that first cup of wine, drinking to the left. Okay, and good. We are, everybody has drunk. We are now moving on to the second. We'll get there. Urchatz, we're going to wash our hands. Now, don't get me wrong. Mr. Breban, just pick up your hands. Just let me see your hands. Come on, come on. They're nice and clean. So what's Michael, who's going to take a shower? He's not coming to the table with dirty hands. What's he have to wash his hands for? So I'm going to give everybody a very important historical lesson. Please listen carefully. On the night of the Pesach Seder, you ready? We do not just relive Jewish history. You ready? We don't just remember, we relive Jewish history. What does that mean, Jason, that we're going to relive Jewish history? I'm going to tell you that when we had a temple, we conducted ourselves in a way that we were very careful about purity and impurity. And therefore, one of the technical laws, but write this down so you'll know what you're doing, why you're doing. One of the technical laws of purity and impurity is that water, as you'll see in a moment, is a conductor of impurity. Now, what does that mean?
Wait, it means impurity or purity?
Im. Well, you're very good, Booby. In other words, what's a, you're right. Ben, you are right. Ben, I'm sorry. I call him Ben. Ben, you are right, darling. You are right that when you have a mikvah, that is certainly immersing in pure waters. But when I have a fruit or a vegetable, if it is wet and I'm going to take it with my hands, the rabbi said, ooh, there's a certain small level of impurity on everybody's hands. Because willy-nilly, without realizing it, I might have scratched my head, whatever. So there's a little bit of impurity, a little bit on our hands. And if I have fruit or vegetable that's wet, I'm going to impart impurity to that fruit or vegetable. And we don't want to do that. So guess what we do? We wash our hands before we're going to eat that vegetable. We go to the sink, we wash. And, you know, if you are privileged to have the Seder with a grandparent and you want to bring the water to them, that's fine. But listen carefully. We go to the sink. Thank God we can walk. And we go. And twice on the right, twice on the left, without a blessing. No bless, no bracha. And listen carefully. We come to the table. Then now that we've washed our hands, we can dip. And we're up to the second one called, this, we did the Urchat, which is the washing. We're up to the third part of the Seder, which is the Karpas. We're going to take a vegetable, and we're going to dip it in that salt water. And we're going to recite a blessing. The blessing which is found in every Haggadah, but it's Borei Pri Ha'adoma. And whereas most everything at the Seder is big, this is smaller pieces. Whatever vegetable you're having, okay? Even that banana, small piece, okay? Celery, potato, whatever you use for the vegetable, perpetuate your family custom. That's a nice thing to do. Father did this. Grandpa did this. So this way, you bring them in. Tradition. Good. Very important part. And the purpose of our dipping this is to remember a few things. Number one, listen carefully. We dip the vegetable in the salt water to remind us of the servitude. Things were really hard in Egypt. I don't mean to be funny. In most years, we couldn't relate to the hard. Lo aleinu, those who experienced the Shoah, that was a hard. Thank God a million times it's a different kind, but all of us are experiencing today a certain amount of anxiety, a certain amount of fear. Let's be very honest and call this spade a spade. And all of us pray that this is going to end, and I pray it's going to end before the Seder. However, we can maybe stop and put ourselves back in history and remind ourselves that if not for the fact, this is very, very interesting. Michael, I want you to think about this during the Seder. If not for the fact that our ancestors were slaves in Egypt, I don't know if David London would have said, okay, Moshe, count me in. Moshe comes to the Jewish people and says, okay, guys, we're starting a new religion. Let's hear. Well, it's got special foods. You can't mix milk and meat. Well, you got this one day that you're off, but you really can't go very far and you really can't do very much. The more you think about it, I'm not sure David London, he's a nice guy, would have said, sure, Moshe, count me in. Why did we all say count me in? Because God took us out of Egypt. That was such an incredible wow. And it wasn't one or two people. There were several million. You ready, Suzanne? I'm going to test you later, darling. Several million Jews left Egypt. Ah, so because we left Egypt, and because we were slaves, so basically, picture this. God forbid someone's drowning and the lifeguard comes and somebody comes and saves you. And you can't thank them. And they say, by the way, do you think you can do something for me? And you say, sure, I'll do anything. Well, think about it. Hashem took us out of Egypt. And you know what? He says to us, hey, or we say to him, God, is there anything we can do for you? He says, yeah, by the way, yeah. Once you're asking, sure, you can take my Torah. Now, it just so happens that once we've taken his Torah, we're not giving it up for anything, under any conditions, because we realize how wonderful Shabbos is, and we realize how wonderful kosher is, and we realize and realize and realize. But we never would have taken it on in the first place had we not been slaves. So therefore, we remember the servitude, and we do so by the salt water, which is tears, okay? As well as, pause for a moment, I want you to understand why, when you're about to make the bracha, Shlomo, why must you keep in mind the maror, the bitter herbs that you're going to eat as part of the meal? So I'm going to tell you this now. Listen carefully. If you want, you can write this down. Okay, but I want you to understand it. There's a big debate among the rabbis when it comes to the Pesach meal. Okay, now watch. We're going to eat matzah. That's how we start the meal. And then we're going to eat maror. So Pete Weissman says, Yudin, one question. What's your question? Do we make a bracha of adama on the bitter herb, the maror that we're eating as part of the meal? So watch this. I'm going to hand wrestle with my two hands. And I don't know which one's going to win. I could see it both ways. One way is, if this is on the menu tonight, then when I make hamotzi anytime, it covers all the food. If I make hamotzi and Chevy serves me a bowl of soup, I'm not going to make a bracha on that soup because I already made the hamotzi. The answer, why not? Because the soup is an integral part of the meal. Whoever eats a piece of bitter as part of their meal. So some say because you don't usually eat the bitter as part of the meal, make a bracha in the meal, borei pri adama. And the other side says, no, the Torah prescribes the menu for tonight, and on the menu for tonight is maror, and therefore it is included. So is it included, is it not included? Don't fight everybody. Here's what you're supposed to do. When you eat that karpas, write it down so you shouldn't forget, Jason. When you eat the karpas, when you eat that vegetable in the early part of the meal, keep in mind that this borei pri adama is going to go for the maror later on. Okay, you eat the karpas, you know, with your fingers. If you use a fork, poor Carol, I could see her. If you use a fork, you're going to be hiatal. You're going to be defeating the purpose of washing. The whole purpose of the washing is so my hands shouldn't touch my hands that are wet, which touches the vegetable, I shouldn't impart impurity. But if I'm not going to touch it, I'm going to use a fork, don't bother washing. Okay, here we go. And we don't lean for the karpas, I'm quite certain. Okay, then we go, we're up to number four. Well, we're cooking with gers. Don't worry. Now, what does that mean? Yachatz. We're going to break the middle matzah. Ay, gewalt. Ay, ay, ay. Now, I see Laura. I haven't seen Vlad. I'm going to miss Vlad because he's always the one that takes care of my matzahs. But listen carefully. Vlad's been practicing. Man, he's a strong guy. Hello, ay, booby. Ay. What did that middle matzah do to you that you're going to take the middle matzah and you're going to break the middle matzah? So listen to this. This is so powerful. We break the middle matzah for many, many reasons, but I want to tell you one which is so strong, and that is as follows. What is the character of matzah? Yes, matzah has its own character. Remember this, Jason. You're going to say this at the Seder. Matzah has a dual character. It has a character of the bread of affliction. What does that mean? It means that we actually ate matzah in Egypt. For the many, 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 many years that we were slaves, they served their slaves, not bagels and not rolls, matzah. So on the one hand, why? Because it fills and it's cheaper, etc. Don't talk about the price of Shemur Matzah today. It's a different whole story. So on the one hand, it's the bread of affliction. And on the other hand, it's the bread of freedom. As we'll say at the Seder later on, we were chased out of Egypt. No time to bake our bread. So we eat matzah because it's our freedom. So which one is it? Is it this? Is it that? And what's the answer, Shlomo? Both. The answer is it's both. So we break it to demonstrate that the matzah is, quote, schizo, two different themes to the matzah. And interestingly, we know that the bigger piece is put away for the afikoman, for the dessert at the very end of the meal, reminding us of the Korban Pesach, the Paschal lamb that was eaten at the, quote, end of the meal. And listen carefully, everybody, very, very interestingly, we end the meal with optimism. So just in case you're not going to stay till the end of this, remember that. The second half of the Seder is all optimistic. The second half of the Seder says that as you brought miracles in the past, God, you will bring miracles in the present, in the future. And that's not a maybe. That's a certainty. We end the Pesach Seder on a high. That's why the bigger piece, the optimism, is for later. Okay, that's your yachatz. So we now have 2.5 matzahs. The bigger half we put away. Now, don't get me wrong. If you've got other people at your Seder, so Chevy's going to hide the afikoman this year. Okay? Now, just in case you're by yourself, try to remember where you put it. Because you can't blame anybody else, you know, if you can't find it. And if you have any questions later on, if you can't find the afikoman that you put away, I'll tell you how to solve that problem after when everybody goes off. Okay, so here we go. We finished the yachatz. We're up to Magid. Magid is one of the two unique biblical mitzvos for the Pesach Seder. And that is to tell the story. Magid comes from the verse which gives us the name of the book that we're going to use, the Haggadah, and it means to tell, to relate. It's a mitzvah tonight to tell the story. I'm telling you right now, in any language, rumor has it that God understands Russian, Hebrew, English, French and Spanish, and any other language that anybody here has and knows, etc. So use the language that you feel comfortable with, and use the language that the people at your Seder are comfortable with. And even if there are certain passages which you feel, oh, this is important, should be said in Hebrew, good. Then have somebody else say it in English, which is what I do at my Seder. And if you, and even if you're by yourself, I'm telling you right now, shh, no one's going to say, oh, yeah, yeah, what's wrong with he, she? They're talking to themselves. No, you're not. He's with you. Remember, ooh, it's a rendezvous. Beautiful word. It's a love connection between you and Hashem. Okay, so we're about to begin that part of the Seder. And by the way, the custom is either to keep the matzahs open or that middle matzah. And should there be many people at your Seder, in front of, quote, the many, there should be a piece of matzah at the time that you tell, quote, the story. Because one of the explanations of Oni is that you recite over it, the matzah. It's like a show and tell. The matzah itself reminds us. And like I said, it was the bread of affliction. So the matzah talks to us. And the matzah says, don't forget me. Okay, so this Magid begins with an Aramaic recitation. That was their vernacular in those days. And think about it. Basically, as part of this, we are inviting people. Now this year, unfortunately, I can't invite you. And I know that bothers me. I know that bothers you. And please God, as we work together in the past, so many of you listening, and I especially thank Jeff Cohen for organizing the second Seder last year, whereby we had a beautiful communal Seder with about 75 people in our shul last year. I miss you. I really do. But I'm telling you once again, but now listen carefully. We can't invite anybody to the Seder, but you can't be concerned with other people. Call them. Do you have everything you need? Because as part of that recitation, you know what you're saying? Hey, if anybody needs for Pesach, so this is it. And here's a time to think about writing that check for Ma'os Chitim, writing that check for charity to make sure that people all over the world, it's amazing now that today, with the same way that we can Zoom and be with each other for this, we know that there are poor families here, there are poor families there. And in each and every community, there are persons that are reaching out for these poor families. Before you sit down for your Pesach Seder, and if your kids are a little bit older, I'm not asking how much the check is, that's secondary. But show your children, grandchildren, if you can, by Zoom even, etc. Take a look. You know what I'm doing tonight? I'm sending out my check for Ma'os Chitim. It's going to make, Ma'os Chitim literally is the fund, which literally means money for wheat, which means money for matzah, etc. Each person, try to help out the next one. That's very, very significant. Okay, we begin the... Now you'll follow your Agada about the right before you say the Manashtana, you take away the Seder plate, and a lot of this is done to arouse the curiosity of the young. We start the Maggid section with, listen carefully, our question and answer. The young ask if they can. The Mishnah says, if there's a child, the child asks. If there are no children, the wife asks. And if there is no wife, he asks himself. He asks himself. It's not like a library. Say it out loud. Because saying it out loud is going to make that little bit more of a roshim. And the four questions are just four questions to stimulate questions. Believe me, you can ask each other more than four questions. You're not bound to the text of the Haggadah. The Haggadah should be a springboard. We're asking about, okay, why is it the bread that we're eating tonight has to be only matzah all year long? And why about the vegetables? And why about the dipping? And why about the reclining? Okay, you might want to talk about the, quote, recitation and other things. You come up with interesting questions even before you start your Seder. Okay, and we bring the Seder plate back. We've poured the second cup of wine. Okay, and the matzahs are uncovered, we're ready to go. And we give the answer that Avodim Hayinu, we were slaves, as I told to you before, etc. And follow the Haggadah. Again, in any language that you're comfortable with. And listen carefully, I might want to recommend those of us who have grandchildren, who thank God go to yeshiva, and they have all their Divrei Torah, ask them to email, however, send them to you, tell them to you, Erev Pesach, or the day before, let them say to you, whatever they call you, grandma, grandpa, sabo, papa, etc., whatever it is, safta, write this one down, and keep me in mind at the Seder, if you have that, and if not, listen carefully, everybody, that child in each and every one of us, if you have, go to your bookcase. And, oh, this is a new Haggadah I haven't seen in a while. We can all find something new. And if you can't, 201-906-3731. It'll be my honor to share something with you to make this recitation not just a recitation. No. Say it slowly. It's exciting. And, you know, we have the four sons. There's so much that there is to talk about. Okay? And listen carefully. Interestingly, Vihi, okay, when it comes to Vihi Sha'amda, we pick up the cup, okay? Now watch. I remember one of my favorites for the Pesach Seder. Vihi Sha'amda is basically that we're toasting God and we're saying, thank you, Hashem, that you've saved us from all our travails, all our challenges. Shebechol dor v'dor, in every generation, right, there's anti-Semitism from without, there are all kinds of challenges, but Vakodesh Baruch Hu, Matzilenu Miyadam, there's no other way to translate that. What does it mean? The Most Holy I'm reading from the Maxwell House Haggadah. Okay? The Most Holy always saves us. What's the word? Always. There's no way to reach. If my Aryeh is listening, Aryeh, what does the word always mean? That's right. Always. Always saves us. That's what we have to talk about at the Pesach Seder. And we pray all this will be over by then. But if it's still on, then we have to tell ourselves, yes, I don't understand this now, but He always saves us from our tzara. Okay, I don't have the time to go through so many of these passages, but say it slowly, okay? Understand it once again. When it comes to the 10 plagues, we are basically showing our empathy even for the Egyptians, okay? Because these were God's people, and even for them. So whether you use your pinky, whether you pour out a little bit, etc., that's that empathy, okay? And then we come to Dayenu. Okay, in one of my classes this week, I pointed out that the Rambam finished his Seder, Michael Breban, a little bit before Michael Breban's Seder. Why? Because the Rambam didn't say Dayenu. Not because Dina Jarashua, he didn't have a good voice. No. No. The Rambam felt that there's enough to celebrate on the night of the Pesach Seder, just the Pesach Seder, just the night of the 15th. We don't have to talk about the splitting of the sea. We don't have to talk about the more Dayenu, which means it would have been enough had he not done this, and Hashem did this and this and this. Okay, so here we go. Including the last of the Dayenus is, wow, next to the last. Ilu nasalanu es haTorah. Had God only given us the Torah, and He didn't bring us to Eretz Yisrael, that would have been enough. But wow, if He brought us to Eretz Yisrael, and He didn't give us the Beis HaMikdash. Even that would have been Dayenu. Now, we are so grateful, and keep that in mind. And I kid you not, especially those that are going to be themselves, keep in mind that part of the reason that you are yourself is because your loved ones love you. It's tough love, but I don't want to get my grandchildren sick. And you know what my grandchildren say to me? They say, Papa, we love you, and that's why we're not coming. And that's my only answer. So, to the person that's alone, I know it's hard. You and Hashem have this rendezvous, that's number one. But tell yourself again and again, it's hard love, soon this will be over, and we will be celebrating together. But right now, I celebrate that my children and grandchildren are, thank God, healthy. And you know what they're celebrating? They're celebrating that you're healthy. And that's very, very important. So keep that in mind and tell that to yourself again and again, because I think that is so very important. Okay, now, in terms of, is every page of the Haggadah created equal? No. There's one part of the Haggadah that is a Mishnah and is more important, and that's the section almost before we eat, right after Dayenu. So when you sing Dayenu, make sure that whoever's job it has been to watch the kitchen, might even be mine this year, who do I know? Okay, Chevy just will tell me what to check on, etc. So listen carefully. Well, make sure that I'm there and you're there for the part of Rabbi Gamliel who says it's not enough to eat it, you have to know why. You have to know why we ate the Pesach, okay? Why we had that piece of Korban Pesach, which is the roasted lamb or sheep. Why did you eat it? So we go through those three. Why we ate the Pesach, why we eat the matzah, why we eat the maror. That is exceedingly important that you understand it. So you read it in the Hebrew and honor children, honor people that's there, or honor yourself. But that you say out loud. Then here we go. We are about to have the second cup in a moment. Listen carefully. Now, I didn't tell you this. What are the cups of wine? The four cups of wine are, one, we're toasting God. For He, capital H, for He's a jolly, that's right. We're toasting Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for liberating us from Egypt. Four different expressions of redemption. That's one. The second thing is, there are four different mitzvos that we recite with the cup of wine. So, the first cup of wine was for Kiddush. The second cup of wine is that we are completing the Magid section. We're completing the Haggadah with a cup of wine. And so, right before we drink the second cup of wine, a few very important paragraphs. One, the paragraph that says that in every generation, a person is obligated to feel as if you left Egypt. That's right. Not your ancestors, you yourself. That's such so hard. This year might be a lot easier. Next, because of the, quote, instability. Secondly, we say the first two paragraphs of the Hallel. Okay? The first two paragraphs of the Hallel, which is that song of thanksgiving from Psalms 113 and 114. Listen carefully. We say this, and we're saying, thank you, Hashem, B'tzeisi Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim, when the Jewish people left Egypt, thank you, etc. And then we finish that second paragraph, we pick up the cup, and guess what? We are saying the blessing, which is equivalent to, watch this, She'osa nisim lavoseinu, that bracha that we make on the night of Hanukkah 8 times, each night a different time, that same bracha. God did miracles for us. We said it on the night of Purim and the day of Purim. She'osa nisim lavoseinu, God did miracles. We say it tonight, but not in exactly those words. We say it a little bit differently, Asher ge'olanu, which means that He redeemed us and our ancestors, and guess what? It concludes with He is going to redeem us again. I am not sure. Here comes a big word. David London, if you're still listening, you ready, Bubby? I am not sure. I am positive. Oh, strong word. Positive. I'm not positive of many things, but I'm positive of this bracha. This bracha is a bracha to be said with a lot of enthusiasm. And it ends, Baruch Ato Hashem, Goal Yisrael, the eternal Redeemer of Israel. Beautiful way. Hats off to the Maxwell House Haggadah. That doesn't only mean the Redeemer of Israel, but I like that word, eternal Redeemer of Israel. You're drinking the second cup, you're leaning to the left, everybody drinks. Good. Here we go. All right, let's go. We get up, and we're going to the sink. We're going to wash, this time with a blessing. Al Netilas Yadayim. If I had time, I'd explain to you why we make that blessing. Take my word for it. You can call my granddaughters, they'll tell you, either Shira or Rachel. But basically, what it means is that we're doing this for Jeff Cohen, very quickly. Jeff Cohen is a Kohen, and all the other Kohanim that are listening. And the Kohen, is to wash his hands before he eats the Truma. But because there are very few Kohanim, we, the rest of us, keep Mr. Cohen in shape by all of us reciting this bracha of washing our hands when we eat bread, most similar to the eating of Truma, that which was given to the Kohen. So the idea is, when you wash your hands, and you look at each other and say, Briban, your hands are still clean. And there you go, washing them again. And what's the answer? One word, optimism. I'm washing my hands to remind us that, guess what? There's going to be that third temple. There's going to be the washing of the hands. So Mr. Cohen will know to wash his hands before he eats his truma. If you don't understand that, you'll call me afterwards, and I'll explain that to you. Okay, here we go. We're about to fulfill the second biblical mitzvah of the night, which happens to be to eating of matzah. So, listen carefully now. We're going to make the hamotzi. Of course, we're going to have the bread of the night. What do? I take 2.5 matzahs that are in front of me. Because remember, 1/2 I put away for the afikoman. With the 2.5 in my hand, I make a bracha. Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. You ready? And I can make that bracha motzi for everybody in the room. Not going to be too many. Excuse me. But whoever's in that room, the same way that on Friday night, you make the hamotzi for everybody, so too, when Rabbi Larry is going to make the bracha, hamotzi lechem, it's for his whole family that is there. Now what? You're going to put down the bottom matzah. You've got 1.5 matzah in your hand. Here goes the second unique biblical mitzvah of the night. You're about to eat the matzah. It's a shmura matzah. It's either a hand shmura matzah or a machine shmura matzah. Call me if you don't have shmura matzah. I'll help you, tell you where to get it. And now that I've got my shmura matzah, 1.5, I make the bracha. Asher kidshanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu al achilas matzah. Listen carefully. Ideally, I'm going to take part of the top one, part of the half, and I'm going to eat it leaning to the left. Now listen, I forgot to tell you about the leaning. Do it in a comfortable way. It's not supposed to be uncomfortable that you're halfway on the floor and you're getting the wine and the... No. If you want a pillow, do it in a comfortable way that you really are comfortable. Okay, I eat the matzah leaning to the left. Everybody should have a nice size piece of matzah. Minimally, listen carefully, from my wrist to my end of the fingers, okay? So let's say I don't bring a ruler to the Seder, but we're talking approximately, 6-7 inches. The idea is, come on, we've waited a long time for this. And I'm going to tell you right now, what's in your matzah? So I'll tell you what's not in the matzah. There's no eggs in the matzah, there's no apple juice, there's nothing about except flour and water. But Pete Weissman says, you didn't tell them, that besides the flour and the water, there's one more thing in the matzah. And I really believe this, everybody. If you're listening to me, I'm telling you right now, I don't know if the doctors can tell you exactly why. You take this pill, and it's really going to work. What's in that vitamin? I don't know, but it works. I'm going to tell you there's something in this matzah. Besides the flour, besides the water, there is faith. The Zohar calls this the matzah of, or the bread of faith. Michla, which is food, timhemnusa, which is faith. Not only is it our faith that we eat it, but I really believe what's getting us through Corona is the matzah you ate last year. That's right. The matzah you ate at the Seder last year is getting you through this Corona. That's what matzah is. It's bread of faith. Eat it slowly. If you have to talk, I always tell people, it's too hot in here, it's too cold in here, whatever it is, all those important things. Not while you're eating the matzah. Eat the matzah and think. Not just those having that personal private rendezvous with God. All of us are having that rendezvous. And say, Hashem, I'm eating this for one reason and one reason only. Because you want me to. Because you told me to. That's it. But look how you're joining. Unbelievable. I don't know. You'll call me afterwards and tell me. You'll say, you didn't. Don't make a big deal of this. So many other peoples do the same thing. How many peoples that you know have the same custom over 2,500 years? Every year, we've eaten matzah. God forbid in the concentration camp to the best of their ability. And if they couldn't, they cried over their chometz. Hashem, look at my chometz as if it's matzah. So matzah connects us to our past. Not matzah connects us to our present. And it connects us to our destiny, to our future. So keep that in mind. That when you eat the matzah, eat it slowly. Enjoy it. Rabbi Larry is going to criticize me for saying slowly because you're supposed to eat it, you know, that within a certain period of time. So I'll be a nice guy. I'll give you up to 5 minutes. You can do it, everybody. Don't worry. A nice big piece of matzah. Eat it slowly in 5 minutes, and it's going to be something very special. Okay, now that you've had your matzah, let's get to the maror. something bitter. Why? Because it's not just to talk and say, "Oy Vlad, remember, it was bad in Egypt." We want you to actually taste it. Now watch. The first thing is, why is the romaine lettuce preferable to the horseradish? So I'm going to tell you, first of all, because when the Mishnah lists the five different vegetables, the third one is lettuce, and the, I'm not even sure, horseradish makes it to the cut, or if it's there, it's there at the end. So the bottom line is, number one, historically. But Jason Lizak says, "Come on, my romaine lettuce is not really bitter. I happen to like it in the salad." So the answer is, one to that, that the longer it stays in the ground, the more bitter it gets. And I'm going to tell you that if the rabbis say this is bitter, then this is bitter. If you want to have horseradish, because my Zeta had horseradish, I have a recollection, my friends, of a young boy. I'll never forget this. I would come home from shul with my late father, and I would watch him put on a pair of goggles, take the horseradish, and take a grater, and he would grate the horseradish when he came home from shul with the goggles, and it would make him cry a little bit. And that's what we ate as maror. We didn't have, we didn't know, and therefore, I do both. I eat the, you don't have to do both. I'll tell you right now, you don't have to. But if you're not going to be at my Seder, just keep this in mind, what Yudin does. I first eat the romaine lettuce, a nice piece of it, without leaning, because it reminds us of the bitter. And then afterwards, I'll take some of the horseradish. Chevy doesn't grate it, she cuts it in pieces, and very often these pieces are very sharp. That I can just feel it now, etc. And okay, a little bit of trying, good. That's what it is. We connect our tears with the past. Okay, good. That is the Al Achilas Mora. But remember, of the two, and don't put, wait a minute, whoa, don't put the pieces of horseradish in the lettuce. Eat the lettuce by itself, and then have the horseradish if you'd like afterwards. You don't have to have the horseradish. Shlomo will have the horseradish. What's the word, Shlomo? Macho. Okay. Matzo Shlomo will have the horseradish, but not everybody has to. Okay, here we go. Then we have the Korech. Ay, ay, ay. What's the Korech? The Korech is like a compromise. Well, the Torah says have matzah, the Torah says have maror. Does that mean matzah by itself, or maror by itself, or maybe it also means the sandwich? So first we have them by ourselves. First the matzah, then the maror. And then, what do? That's right, we satisfy Hillel, and we have the two together, the matzah and the maror. Again, you eat it, you take from the bottom piece of matzah, that's where your sandwich comes from, for the matzah. You put the romaine lettuce in between. I forgot to tell you guys, okay, listen carefully. We dip, that's the second dipping of the night, your maror into the charoses. Now listen carefully, for those that like charoses, after you've had the korech, you could have as much of it as you'd like. Listen carefully now. But don't, when you eat the maror, saturate it. Just a little bit of putting it in the charoses, okay? And even for the korech, don't smear the charoses in your sandwich. Afterwards, you can have it. Now, really, the truth of the matter is, we had it first. All of you remember, I'm not sure about Michael Breban, but the rest of us, when we were in kindergarten, it was called show and tell. We had it first. Charoses on the table is show and tell. What's it there for? Number one, to dip, but more important, that it's be the, oh, it reminds us. You see that? It looks like bricks. That's what we had to make in Egypt. That's right. It really wasn't easy. It was back-breaking. V'chulu v'chulu. Okay, so we had our sandwich. We recited that this connects us to the Beis HaMikdash, which we had at that time. And by the way, let's go back to the beginning. Don't get nervous. But I told you to get dressed. Those men that have a kittel, that white robe which we wear on Yom Kippur. So we wear it on the night of the Pesach Seder. Why? A beautiful reason. Because when we ate the Korban Pesach, when we ate offerings, sacrifices, we wore a white gown. What do you think? Just the dentist, Lizak, wears a white gown. And the doctors, big shots. On the night of the Pesach Seder, we're all doctors and dentists, we're all wearing the white gowns. We're all wearing something in honor of the Korban Pesach. Good. Next thing is Shulchan Aruch, enjoy your meal. Many begin the meal with that hard-boiled egg, not the one on the Seder plate, but we're talking about a hard-boiled egg. To remember, that the same night, this year it's a Wednesday night, right? First Seder. Without looking at the calendar, I can tell you that Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av this year, comes out on a Wednesday night, Thursday. Okay, we hope and pray it's going to be a holiday by this Tisha B'Av. But we remember that, and therefore, the egg is a sign of mourning, right? When someone comes back from the cemetery, the first meal they eat is the hard-boiled egg. You don't like hard-boiled egg? Shlomo, don't eat it. That's all. You like it? Eat it.
Why the hard-boiled egg?
I just told you, the hard-boiled egg is a sign of mourning, M-O-U-R-N. What does that mean?
But like, why is that the sign of mourning?
Oh, why is the egg? That's a good question. That's a very good, I think, Bubby, Ben, because it's round, and it basically has a message of the cycle of life, that unfortunately, when somebody loses somebody, we're reminded that this is the way life goes. People are born, people pass on. It's the cycle of life that we are remembering. Okay, nice question, Bubby. Okay, so now, you've had your meal. Listen carefully. I love it. If you are a Sephardi, you're eating roasted meat because you're remembering that the Korban Pesach was roast. If you're not a Sephardi, you're not eating roasted meat. Now, when I mean roasted meat, I'm talking about meat that was actually roasted, be it on a spit, you know, etc. Now, why? Because we don't want to give the impression that we're eating the offering outside Jerusalem, which is where you have to eat the Korban Pesach. Next year, we're all in Jerusalem. Remember that. Don't make any reservations for, you know, Acapulco. No. You're going to Jerusalem. Okay, now watch. So, the idea is that Sephardi Ashkenazim, which is most of us listening tonight, don't eat roasted meat. Now, if you baste the meat, right, you have gravy, etc., you keep pouring it over, that's fine. And many have roast chicken because the Pesach, Korban Pesach could not be chicken. Families have different customs. Once again, any questions? Call Chevy. Okay. And you're going to enjoy the meal. Okay, fine. Sing songs during the meal. Talk. And if you're by yourself, that's right. You're going to remind yourself, thank God you're good. You're good. You're strong. If you want, have pictures of children, grandchildren, if you're by yourself, and talk to them by name. How are you? And thank you for the Dvar Torah, for the thought that you sent me. Thank you for the call. I'll remember all the different things. Good. That's, now, we're up to dessert. What does that mean? After whatever dessert you have, you're going to eat that piece of matzah. Now, that one piece of matzah, if you're by yourself, it's going to be plenty. But if you're not by yourself, so take any matzah and have a little piece of that one, or just any matzah will do. And the piece of matzah that you're eating at the end of the meal, there's a debate among the rabbis. Is this the actual mitzvah of matzah? Is it remembering the Korban Pesach, which is what the Rush and most of the authorities think? So basically, I'm ending my meal by reminding ourselves that this is what we ate. They wanted you to have the taste of that bar of that lamb chop in your mouth. And so afterwards, no, Jason. None of this chocolate mince after the matzah. No. The last thing you eat is the matzah. You can have 2 cups of wine after that, yeah, but nothing else. None of this chocolate mince, okay? That's for tomorrow, during the day. You can snack on that when Susanna's not looking. But the bottom line is, you ready, Bubby? The matzah is the last thing that we eat. And we eat it leaning to the left, okay? And remember, enjoy it. Enjoy it. We're connecting with, you know, past, present, future. Okay, here we go. Now, we are pouring the third cup of wine. We're going to say the grace after meals. That's a biblical mitzvah. Okay? Too often we... are so accustomed to it that we don't take it and treat it that it's special. It's special every time we eat. It's special on the night of the Pesach Seder. Okay, so make sure that, once again, mostly, at least, you know, you got the rules. Wine. Okay. And very simply, when we finish that, we lean to the left and drink the third cup of wine. Okay, welcome to part two of the Seder. You want to call it part three, technically, because before the meal, and now the third part. Okay, I won't argue with you. Part three of the Seder. What's part three of the Seder? One word, future. Future. And something a little bit uncharacteristic for each of us, and that is, okay, God, it's time to punish them. That's right. Those people, those nations that want to destroy us, show them, God, that who you are. Show them your might. Remind them and remind us that we are your chosen people. That is what we are going to say when we open the door. Now, a child opens the door because starting now, we are foretelling that, please God, there will be a Mashiach. We open the door for Elijah because he's going to be the one to say, get ready, guys, tomorrow he's coming. Elijah is going to announce the coming of Messiah. We are not sure. Breban, what's the word? Come on. We're positive. That's right. We're positive that Mashiach is going to come. We're positive that Elijah is going to come. And therefore, we go to the door and we open the door and we say, come on in. That's right. We're ready for you. We can't wait. And you have to mean it. That's right. And now it's easier to mean it. Because, that's right. Because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But we know one thing. That we're in God's hands, number one. And number two, that He has promised us that there will be that third temple. And I keep talking about a third temple. Because the third temple represents a time when there's going to be peace and tranquility for the Jewish people, and from the temple it's going to spill over to the rest of the world. Okay, we fill the fourth cup, and listen carefully, the rabbis were good to us. They didn't make you hold the fourth cup the whole time, because then, you know, those you'll spill, and is there a table, is there plastic, and you don't want to upset your wife. So you have it in front of you, or if you want, hold on to it. You don't have to lift it the whole time. Okay, here we go. Sing the Hallel. That's right. If there's somebody there with a better voice, good, let them lead the singing. And if not, just the two of you, okay, come on, sing it. And if you're just by yourself, that's right, sing it. That's right. And you're not singing to yourself. Remember, you are singing to God. And you're not singing to, you're singing with. Thank you, Hashem, for allowing me to sing. I don't want to say it. The rabbis tell us on the last verse of the Pesukim de Zimra that we say every day, Kol Haneshama Ta'alo Koha Leluka, we repeat it. Literally, every soul means every breath. Now especially, we appreciate our ability for every breath. Once we finish the Hallel, now the bracha for the end of the Hallel, we don't make a bracha before. Where, oh yeah, by the way, if you're going to say Hallel at home, before the Seder, complete Hallel, as I thought, Rabbi Shechter said, do not say the bracha. We're going to miss one another. In Shul, with each other, at Tzibur, we don't have that this year. No bracha before the Hallel at home. Certainly no bracha at Hallel at the beginning of the Seder at home. But at the end of the Seder, at the end of the Hallel at home, and there are different variations how you do it. After the regular Hallel, we have Hodol Hashem Ki Tov, Kili Olam Chazdo, all the Kili Olam Chazdo, which means Hashem's mercy endures again and forever, forever. Okay, and then we finish, listen carefully, with Yishtabach Shimcha, may God's name, you know, be praised forever. And we finish the bracha to that, whichever way you have it in your Haggadah, and listen carefully. And we drink the fourth cup, leaning to the left. We recite the blessing afterwards for the bracha, achrona, for the wine. It's inside there, thanking God for the wine. And finally, Nirtza. Nirtza means Hashem. I hope and pray that I've done all this for you, that you should accept it as if it was our karban. And the most important thing is, we have this principle, Unashama Purim Sfaseinu, which means right now, I can only do what I can do. But please God, in the future, I am going to bring the actual service, the actual karban. And then comes the various songs. I don't have time to go into them now, but you know what they are. They're there at the end. And to the best of your ability, you'll look at the English, you'll say what's going on here. You'll be reminded of all the miracles that took place on this night of Pesach. And let me just tell you that in 1948, I think, you'll correct me if I'm not mistaken, but I believe it was Haifa that we got back on the night of the Pesach Seder. My friends, keep in mind, so much good has come our way. Pesach time, the night of the Pesach Seder. We have to tune into that and pray that as He did, so He will for each and every one of us. And if you can, as I began, if you can end with that love story of Shir HaShirim, if not, Hashem knows for all that you've done throughout the Seder, how much you love Him, how much you trust Him, how much you realize that all this anxiety and suffering that we are now is going to come to an end. And you and I don't know yet how and why this is for good. But someday, and we hope very soon, we're going to realize that. I apologize if this went a little bit too long, and it reflects a little bit of our Pesach Seder. So it's like we were all at the Pesach Seder together. And I take this opportunity of wishing everybody a Chag Kosher Tesameach. I'm sure it's going to be kosher, and I'm sure it's going to be happy. We have the ability to dig deep, each and every one of us, whether we are alone, and we're not alone, whether we are with our spouses, whether we are with whomever. Thank God, our children, and whatever the circumstance is, we say, thank you, Hashem. That's it. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.